So we heard yesterday, Art of Chanting. Prabhupada gave us some ideas about how to increase our concentration by seclusion, determination, discretion, and detachment. And then there was something about sitting in good posture is also helpful for concentration, which we try to do. And then there's some description here about how to concentrate on the Ajna Chakra, which I've already done. Because not only when you meditate on the Ajna Chakra, which is between the eyebrows, you can simply focus your attention there. Your mind's eye is just looking there. You're internally trying to see and fix in a relaxed way in that spot while chanting the holy name. And if you want to add a little bit of variety to that particular meditation, Ajna Chakra Dhyanam, then you can try to see the deity, your Ishtadev there, either a painting of Radha and Krishna or the Murti of Rasa Vihari or Radha Shyam Sundar. For example, you go and you take darshan. When you take darshan of Rasa Vihari every day, there's different outfits, dresses. So then you can, like everyone runs around with these cell phones and cameras always going dot, 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 taking pictures of everything and everyone. So use these two cameras. And you have the microchip of your heart and the two cameras of your eyes, and take picture of the deities, what dress they're wearing, what color, what garlands, how they look, their hair, everything. And then keep that picture in your heart, heart's picture. Then when you're chanting japa, then take that picture from your heart, anahata, your anahata chakra in your heart, and then place it here and chant that mala, maha mantra. And it's a very nice meditation, because when this point, as I said, is the seat of the mind during conscious state. So this place where the lady puts her bindi, or let's say the old days, in those ancient times when married ladies wore a bindi, they would put this thing here. So that place in the man and the woman, that is the chakra. It's a very powerful place and it helps concentration. It's a concentration point, you can say. It's a point of concentration. It's the it gathers, that has the ability to gather all the thoughts in one place and subdue the thoughts. So when one's doing this, it's explaining here, if the mind tries to run away from Krishna, one must diligently withdraw it and think of Krishna's form again and again. Try to keep the mind calm and relaxed. However, if you find it too difficult to concentrate on the Ajna Chakra, or you get a headache, then open your eyes and concentrate on a painting, photo, or deity of Radha and Shyam. Patience, determination, attention, and interest bring success and concentration. This point is often discussed. Obviously, determination, attention, and patience. But the other point is here about interest. You should have some interest. You should really want to master the art of concentration. If you're not interested in it, then you won't get anywhere. For example, if your mother-in-law says, oh, you should learn cooking. You don't even know cooking. What kind of daughter-in-law are you? But in your heart of hearts, you have absolutely no interest in cooking. And it's a wealthy family. You know they already have a maid and or whatever, cooking everything. And it's no need for you, really, to learn cooking, and you have absolutely zero interest in cooking, but your mother-in-law is twisting your arm and saying, listen, it's not right. You know, I knew cooking for my husband, now you're married in the modern type. And you're thinking, oh. And the mother-in-law says, no, I'll show you. So you sit there, okay. Because your mind is elsewhere, your heart is elsewhere. So they have the phrase, put your heart into it. To start something new, first of all, you have to have interest in it, a desire to reap the benefits of such a practice, the wonderful benefits. When one has the power to concentrate, When one develops a power of concentration, he can utilize it anywhere in all fields and become very productive and very successful in any attempt that he's performing or attempting. I mean, any attempt that he's doing or endeavor, just like chanting or working or studying or hearing class or anything. So this is... Now this is one point here, talks about picture meditation on page 148. So there's some scientists, they've done a lot of studies and all these things. They spend their whole life doing these type of things. And they found out that of all the techniques used to stop the oscillatory nature of the mind, which means the always moving and vibrating quality of the mind, techniques which use sound and sight are the most effective. In other words, we have five senses. So there's sound, there's sight, there's smell, there's taste, and there's touch. These are the karmendriya and gyanendriya also. Gyanendriya. Knowledge acquiring senses. So if you smell something or you touch something, okay, but that doesn't have so much power to capture the attention or capture the mind. But sights, something you see or something you hear, is very powerful. These are the most powerful of the five sense objects, are the five sense objects that can capture the mind, and really the mind can latch onto in a very powerful way. Sight and sound. Even they have phrases like seeing is believing. Like someone, you try to see something extraordinary and later you tell your friend, I saw this. No, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. I ain't never heard of this. No, I saw it. I saw it. And you jump up and down 100 times. No, I still don't believe it. It's ridiculous. It's the most astounding, impossible thing I could ever imagine. No, I saw it. I saw it. These eyes are God. I mean, perfect source of evidence. So sight and then sound. Sight and sound. Sound means words, or you hear something amazing. So now we have to think in our line of devotion, line of mantra meditation, how we can take advantage of these two objects of sight and sound to improve our power of concentration. So the example is, if you think about a hypnotist, you know what a hypnotist is? He hypnotizes you. It's like, anyway, the hypnotist subdues the subject's mind by capturing his gaze with a swinging watch and speaking in a rhythmic, monotonous way. I don't know if you know, but a hypnotist, he'll take a watch or some object and he'll say, look at this, just stare at this watch. Any kind of thing, and a watch with a chain on it, something, and you look at it and you're going... So that's sight. Then he speaks to you. Just look at this watch going back and forth. Just relax. You're feeling very, very sleepy. and your eyelids are very, very heavy. Just relax. And then you... So it's like you're seeing what your eyes are fixed on, gaze, your sight is fixed on this movement of some pendulum or watch or whatever going back and forth, swinging on some chain, like old style pocket watches, you know, they had men's pocket watch chain. And then he's speaking like this in a very soft, and then becoming slower in his speech, and your mind is then, so right now you're completely under my command. Now you must do whatever I say. Now, bark like a dog. Hur, hur. You know, and they, like this, if you ever have parties, so we had sometimes parties with our friends and we invite a hypnotist. And you find somebody and you hire them. You don't do it here? You have? No? I don't know. This place is so dull over here. No, jaru, like a jaruwala, you know, jaru, hypnotist, I don't know. Well, in psychiatry, they use it for clinical psychology, the past life regressions and rebirthing and all this kind of stuff, and find out the sort, they hypnotize you, and then they say, yes, my mother beat me when I was 2 years old, and all kinds of things come out of the subconscious. They unlock the subconscious by hypnotism. But anyway, at least in America, I mean, they make money with everything. So people just become, they do hypnotists like amateur hypnotists. And then you hire them for a party. You have a party, 50, 100 friends, music, everything. Oh, party, young people. Then you hire a hypnotist or you hire a palm reader. You never did. What kind of parties you have? What kind of parties you have? Junkie parties. But you have astrologer, you have a palmist, you have a hypnotist. Hypnotists are the best. That's so exciting. They're really great. Somebody should learn hypnotism and open a profession. It's big. It's really big. I mean, it's the most exciting thing. Because it's very, you have to find someone that's submissive. Even when they come, they say, who's like easily, you know, submissive? Like someone's like really like heavy-headed or they can't hypnotize them. So some lady or some guy says, yeah, I'm kind of easy to control or whatever. You know, your nature. So then you sit there and then the person's hypnotized. When they're hypnotized, they're completely in a trance. They're actually subconscious. You go like this, they can't see. You go like this. Okay, now listen to me. You're just like, yeah, I've seen. And then they say, okay, get down, start walking on the, walk on the ground like a dog. And the person is in this trance, and they're not like, it's like you tell walk on a dog. You know, it's not like, okay, you get down on the ground. Okay, act like a dog. And you realize it. And the person, and then everyone's laughing at everything, and they say, hey, Joe, or like this. And he doesn't know. Joe, what's that? Hey, Joe, you look stupid. Well, yeah, okay, you're, no, he's, he looks at him like, then he says, then he'll say, bite that guy. So he completely identifies that he's a dog, actually. He doesn't think I'm a human being or I'm Joe Smith or whatever. And so he starts running after the guy to bite him. It's really far out. It's like really a lot of fun, actually. And then the hypnotist, he goes like this. Or I know, they go like this. And the guy goes, and then everyone's laughing. Look at the guy. He goes, what happened? What happened? What'd I do? What happened? Oh, you bit that guy. So this is sight and sound. So we don't want to do all that, but in Vrindavan Leela, for example, Madhu Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmana friend, he utilizes these same principles every morning when he eats breakfast with Krishna and the coward boys in Nandagram. Pointing towards the window of Nandamarja's palace, Madhu Mangal blurts out, oh, hey boys, look at that silly monkey hanging upside down on the Kadamba tree. So that's sight. After capturing everyone's attention with his sound, his voice, and the sight of the monkey, Madhu Mangal quickly steals all the sweets from his neighbor's plates. So everyone's looking out the window, and then he goes. So the following concentration technique, which combines sound and sight, perfectly controls the mind and engages it in serving Krishna. While chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, gaze steadily at a picture of Radha and Krishna for 5 minutes. Close the eyes after 5 minutes, after gazing steadily for 5 minutes, right here, see? Then internally try to visualize the same picture, all the details. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. During visualization, when you're looking, when you're actually, your eyes are open, during visualization, this is internal visualization. During your internal visualization, move the mind over the various limbs of the Lord. Begin with seeing Krishna's lotus feet in your mind. Then gradually rise up his transcendental body to his legs, knees, thighs, and then see his silk dhoti, his belly, his chest, his pearl necklaces and garlands, koshtub gem, his neck, face, eyes, flute, smile, hair, turban ornaments, and peacock feather. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. Then repeat the visualization going back down to Krishna's lotus feet while continuing to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If the mental picture of Krishna fades, which means disappears, open your eyes and gaze again. Then repeat the process of internal visualization 5 or 6 times. Do not be disturbed if in the beginning you can't keep the picture of Radha and Krishna in the mind. Because by vigorous and regular practice, a visualization will bring success. Within a few months of practice, you will be able to clearly visualize the divine couple smiling within your mind while you chant Hare Krishna in your heart. So, proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You have to try it. And so many people, they, I meet people, I say, oh, I read this book, Art of Chanting. I said, that's nice. What did you think? Oh, it's nice. It's a good book. Good night. I said, did you apply any of the techniques or implement any of the suggestions? Techniques? Suggestions where? I said, oh, I understand you read very, very tightly the book. It's almost like someone, you gift someone a cookbook. Italian cooking, all the recipes. And so then later, after a few months, you meet your friend. You read that cookbook? Oh, yes, I read it. Did you make anything? No. Did you make any recipes? You made anything? No, I read the book. It's a very nice book. That's not the point. Although people do that. Some people just read cookbooks and salivate. If you know what salivating means. If you don't, then ask your friend to translate into Hindi. Salivate means your mouth fills with water. Like when you see some good food. And see the aloo tikki wala, or see the ice cream wala or something, whatever. So you're looking, you're reading a cookbook. Whoa, and they have all these glossy color pictures. So you can read the cookbook and salivate, or you can actually make the things in the book. And experience the actual value of the book. When you read the cookbook and then apply the recipes and prepare the food there and offer it to your Thakurji, then you can actually experience the true value of the cookbook. Otherwise, simply reading and salivating has some value, I suppose, vicarious pleasure. But the real meaning of the book is to make recipes. So the real substance of this book is the techniques for concentration, meditation, improving. And when you apply them, then you derive the results, which is improved japa, exciting japa, enthusiastic japa, experiential japa, flavorful japa. Not, oh, here we go again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How dry, how boring, how uninteresting, what drudgery. How dry, do I have to? Chapter 11. Any questions on that one? On those points? Oh, that back there. Yeah, Prabhupada's thing about seclusion, determination, discretion, detachment. Discretion means vichara. You know vichara? Discrimination? So it means making choices. That's what he says here. And he says here, and in perfect determination, he should not hanker after unnecessary material things that entangle him in feelings of possessiveness. So this phrase that Prabhupada was using, I said, showed that I call that discretion. In other words, it means discriminate. What Prabhupada is saying here, in perfect determination, we should not hanker after unnecessary material things, which means we should discriminate. These are unnecessary material things, so they're unfavorable for bhakti. I should reject them. That's called discretion. Yeah, that's right before that. That's also discretion. He should be very careful to accept favorable and reject unfavorable conditions that affect his realization. That's discretion or discrimination. You have to discriminate. Oh, is this good? Anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Is it anukulya? Is it favorable for my devotion, my absorption in chanting and my meditation that I accept it, I embrace it? If it's pratikul, if it's against me, pratikul, then varjanam, I reject it, I throw it away. So that you have to have the power of, you have to have intelligence based on Shastra to make that choice. And that's discretion. Discretion is the better part of valor. Famous phrase. Something? Seclusion means to chant without your material desires. Chant alone. You and the holy name. Put your material desires in the closet. Seclusion. You think seclusion means to go off to the Himalayas in a cave? That's the only meaning of seclusion. Just like you read the Bhagavad Gita. I hope you've read the Bhagavad Gita. And there's describing some qualities of a yogi. One is mon. It says mon. Silence. Mon brat. Moni amavasya. And magmas. I think there's moni amavasya. So one of the brats is mon brat, which is also very helpful. If someone is a gadabout, or a very talkative person, then to observe Mon Brat for one day or 2 days is very good. Or stilling the mind and giving determination. It means not speaking. But in Prabhupada's purport in that section of the Gita, Prabhupada's saying the bhakti yogi has a different definition of Mon. Because general understanding of Mon means don't speak. Don't speak anything. Mon Brat. Like there's Mon Brat. I sometimes take a phone Brat. Phone Brat means I turn off my phone for 3 days. The Airtel number you have called is not turned on or whatever they call it. Not reachable. Please call later. Later. Like 3 days later. Or 1 week. Now if anybody calls, it'll be 25 days later. Phone is in Radhakund. Sleeping. So this Prabhupada in his purport, he said, Mon, for the bhakti yogi, Mon means only speak about Krishna. Keep speaking, but only about Krishna. No gramyakata. Gramyakata means politics, sports, husband, wife, this, that. Village talk, gramyakata. So take a Mon. Mon means be silent. Be silent in all these material topics and discussions, but be effervescent. Effervescent in describing Krishna's glories. Krishna Mahima. Effervescent, bubbling. That's the opposite of Mon. In one sense, it seems it's the opposite of Mon. You're not silent at all. You're talking day and night. When Prabhupada said, this is real Mon. No speaking about Maya. So real seclusion is to not take association of your material desires. Or you can say, well, seclusion means to be away from, secluded, secret, away from, hidden, away from everyone. Go in a cave, go in the forest. But that's also a principle. It said, Prabhupada says, in order to concentrate the mind, one should always remain in seclusion and avoid disturbance by external objects. So external objects means objects which are external to the holy name. So the material desires are objects which are external to the fixation on the holy name. But it also means remain in seclusion and avoid disturbance by external objects. So if you chant Hare Krishna in a temple, then that's not an external place. That's Vaikuntha. And if you chant Hare Krishna in a circle of devotees or in a Sangha, a mandala, a Vaishnava mandala, that is not external. What's going on there is internal energy. Because bhakti is internal energy, Swarup Shakti. Internal, Antaranga Shakti is internal. Swarup Shakti. So bhakti, when a group of bhaktas are sitting together and devotee ladies or gents and they're chanting Hare Krishna, that's Swarup Shakti, that's bhakti. So what's external there? So that's perfect seclusion. You're secluded from the material energy, from the Bahiranga Shakti. You're secluded from material desires. You're secluded from the material world. The temple is Vaikuntha. It's isolated. Seclusion means isolated. You're isolated from everybody else. You're by isolated, island, you're by yourself. So seclusion can mean that. But then seclusion also means to chant alone. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, if you find when you chant that you're, Harinam Chintamani, when you're chanting japa, if you find the tendency to sightsee and you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh, who came in the temple? Acha? Wow, I never saw her before. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So he said if you had the tendency to open your eyes and gaze all around the place and sightseeing japa, window shopping japa, then he said you should cover your head with a cloth. You should cover your head with a black cloth. Of course, it's very good because you don't know what's going on under there. Person may be sleeping or chanting. Because I've seen because I live in Radhakund and Vrindavan, and during Kartik we have lots of yatris come, Bengalis and Oriens and whatnot. Maybe 5,000-7,000 yatris crowd into the town of Radhakund for the month of Kartik. Everywhere, they're just everywhere, and many people in Gaudiya Sampradaya, when they chant their Anik, their Sandhya Vandanam, Gayatri, they cover their head fully like that. So I always, especially Janava Baitak or some special places around Radhakund, you'll see elderly men or women or any sadhus, their heads like this. And I wonder, I'm sure half of them are sleeping because they get up early. And so he advises that if you have the tendency to look all around and not hear the holy name, then force yourself to focus on the sound, because you put a black sheet over your face, and if you're opening your eyes, it's all black. So, well, I close my eyes, it's black. I open my eyes, it's black. I might as well. Well, I can't run away from the holy name. I better fix my mind on the holy name. Because our general tendency is to run out through the eyes. The Atma is always running out through the eyes. That's the primary exit. The primary exit door for the Atma is the eyes. And then the other four senses. Ears, secondary, second one. Then nose, nose, taste, and touch. So he suggests that. And also he said, if you go and you chat, if you sit in a temple with devotees and chat and they start gossiping, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, are you going to go to that yatra? You're going to that Jagannathpur yatra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, I'm trying to chant Java. You're going to, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, you know, I heard something about your wife yesterday. What? Shh, tell me. Shh, quiet, don't tell me. No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is not a good seclusion. So if you're in association with serious-minded devotees in the temple, that's ideal seclusion. That's the ideal secluded environment, because you're completely isolated and secluded from the material energy and the externalities or the external influence of Maya temple. But if you bring Maya in the temple with your attitude or your viewpoint or your speaking or your behavior, then you transform Vaikuntha into Maya.